Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the 540-something episode. I can't remember if it's 46 or something. I will find out what Taylor's talking. I am the dream girl, Travis Snell. I'm joined by...
I'm the Taste the Rainbow, Taylor Field.
Taste the Rainbow. It's going to be tough to be doing a podcast with all those Skittles in the background, you know, because that's some tasty ones. And I do like that, you know, I'm more on the Skittles bandwagon again because they brought back the lime for a while. It was gone. Oh. But I think they realized people, you know, not green apple fans, you know.
Are they still on fit for human consumption? Because that was a whole thing that they put out.
What is, they're not fit to be eaten?
Titanium dioxide is used to manufacture Skittles and poses a known health risk to people. It has been publicly labeled that Skittles are not fit for human consumption.
Well, what is nowadays, you know? What is? But, you know what is?
Ignorance is bliss.
GV546. Oh, well, what else? What can you eat? I'm trying to eat as healthy as I can. Now they're talking about Skittles. Not like I eat them all the time. But, yeah, we'll be talking about Skittles. We'll be talking about a lot of things. Go check out the feed. There's lots of fun things on there. Mandalorian review. Ian Dillon just did Side Quest, which is our gaming show. There wasn't Weekly Geek this week or a newscast, but there will be next week. Some topics are building up. What else is out there? I check out Last of Us. We did our finale review last week. That was lots of fun. And then soon you'll be getting more retros on the Patreon feed. What's our Patreon feed? Well, you can get episodes ad-free, early, and exclusive. Right now, all the John Wick retros are out in the wild. They're on the main feed, but you could have got those months earlier. But yeah, go check out John Wick 1, 2, and 3. All of them are on there. And right now you can get Evil Dead 1. Evil Dead 2 will be coming up there. And then 5 episodes of the X-Men animated series retrospective where we're going through the entire series. So go check out that. Lots of good things. We did Parasite last week. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Aaron Braden, Edward Darkness, Josh Wright, and Jack Grant for voting on that episode. Very much appreciate it. Taylor, where can they find all that good jazz?
Ladies and gentlemen, you can find us with your internet connection in the search bar. Geekverse.ca is our home base. Geekversecast is our Twitter, and Geekverse is our Facebook.
Uh-huh. So before we get in this, I gotta give my usual... I feel like I do this the most with superhero movies and stuff like that, and I have to. Like, like a GA tidbit or a GA update and stuff like that. So we sit down. One, there's these annoying group of guys, and I said to Taylor as we're getting popcorn, I'm like, oh, those guys are going to be in Shazam. Because it's no offense, but sometimes there's just a certain crowd that goes to these comic movies sometimes. And I'm like, oh, that's probably that crowd that gives us a bad name. But I was very surprised. So we get down, we get Shazam. Not a full theater, about probably 12 people there. At one point, there was 18 tickets sold, but I did not see 18 people there because I turned around and counted. So about 12 people. So very small showing, Thursday showing for a DC movie. Obviously, I think we'll probably talk about that in next week's newscast one way or another, whether it's a Weekly Geek or a Trash Told or something, because box office ain't looking too shabby. But either way, it's Thursday night. So I'm expecting this is the top tier nerds and their significant others, right? And maybe this was the case where it was the top tier nerds with their friends in the situation. It was four dudes, and it was fun to watch because we're sitting there and we get a flash trailer. Finally, I get the flash trailer on the big screen. I've been waiting for that. Get the flash trailer, and then someone behind me is like, hey, is this the one that James Gunn directed? So it's funny. I found it odd because they're not GF. They're not GA enough to know that James Gunn, like, they know who James Gunn is and they know he's a part of DC. So that was fine. But they're still to a point that where it shows even people in like the semi know, the people that like maybe follow this a little bit are still like, hey, is this the one he directed? And again, for some reason, he knows that DC and James Gunn are somehow affiliated. I guess he wasn't part of the Super Bowl or not Facebook because the flash. And this guy was sincere because I was listening. Michael Keaton popped up. He had no fucking clue Michael Keaton was coming back. He's like, "Who? Which Batman is that? Is that Michael Keaton? Is that Michael Keaton?" So he had that, and then he didn't know who Supergirl was either. He had to ask a bunch of times and stuff, and he's like, "Oh, that's not Henry Cavill," because like, someone said that's Supergirl. He's like, "Oh, that's not Henry Cavill." Like, "Oh, this is another version." So very funny. It's always funny to see like the people that are come out for these things and stuff like that. I think that's the most GA people know that James Gunn is just affiliated with it or something like that. Yeah, but it was just funny that he knew that, but at the same time, didn't know Michael Keaton was back as Batman and thought James Gunn was directing. And now people just probably think James Gunn's directing all this stuff now because maybe they thought he directed Shazam too, but I got a good giggle out of that. And that's where I was thrown off guard, where I guess he must have just been a friend and stuff, because most time I feel like on Thursday crowds, the showings, you're always there with the smart marks, as they call them, wrestling people that are in the know and stuff like that. So, so we're here for Shazam. You can go back somewhere in the feeds, which I forgot to publish or re-release. I got to look at the scheduling and all, but we're busy. We're doing all these podcasts. We're filming some stuff. We got other projects, but you know, we have a review on the podcast feed of Shazam somewhere, if not on our YouTube channel. So you can go back. Hey, what do you think of the first one? It's up there. But Taylor Field, what did you think of the second one? Obviously, you were a fan of the first one. So where does this match for that?
I was a fan of the first one. Yes. So, I mean, my excitement level was really not all there going to this movie. Not gonna lie, but I. That being said, getting into it, you know, we got several classic superhero movie tropes that have occurred. We've seen it countless times again, but the way that they did it in this film actually had me really enjoying it. I sat through that whole showing, and I am disappointed in myself that I would have, if we weren't reviewing it, I wouldn't have gone to see this in the theaters probably. And I'm disappointed in myself for that, because again, I liked it, and I think that more people should probably go and check this film out, because it has a lot of really cool things in it that you're probably going to... I like to think that you would enjoy. I think it's much better than the first one. And while there's definitely some rocky roads, and like I said, there's some classic cliche tropes that they do, and definitely some very questionable things. It's like, well, why didn't they just do this or this and yada, yada, yada. But down to its core, I think it is a good time, and I would happily see this again, and I'm very glad I saw
theaters?
This in theaters. Honestly, I would definitely, like, I'm probably not, but if I had the opportunity, you're like, you know what, let's go see it again in theaters, then sure, I would, because there were some moments, especially in that third act when we got some of the fighting stuff going on. Hot damn, it looks so good on the big screen. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm somebody that So I'm always in a difficult spot with Shazam. That I liked it, the first one. I did like it, quite liked it. But I think I had the problem with around the time, because I remember we got the early showings, and that's why it's funny we're talking about that. You can go check out our Discord. In the early times of Shazam, because Dylan had to ask, because I can't remember if he saw Shazam or saw it later, but he's like, was it that universally liked? And I just remember everyone loving Shazam and saying it's their favorite DC movie, one of the best comic movies. And I was in this camp of, like, I enjoyed it, but I think this praise is way too much. And somehow I'm on the other side now, where I feel like, obviously, you got Rotten Tomatoes, it's a Rotten movie. And then I had a lot of people in my timeline, even people that are pretty positive, that say it was okay. I think this was generally on par for the first one, which I thought was a, you know, a good movie. I still would put my, you know, if there's two jars there, I'd still put my nickel in Shazam 1 as far as the better movie. I think I like the pacing a bit better. I think that it kind of gets into very generic superhero terms where the plot really doesn't matter. The story doesn't really matter. It's just, okay, do you like these characters? They're going to fight a bunch of stuff. There's going to be a bunch of MacGuffins, and here we go. But I enjoy my time with it. It's not one that I need to watch again immediately, but I think maybe in a rainy day I would put, you know, Shazam 1 and 2 on and something like that, because I haven't watched Shazam 1 in a bit, so it's probably due. So maybe I will do that next time, because Emily hasn't seen this one. So I liked it. I think Levi's still good in the role. I think they're trying their best, because I agree with what I think I even talked about the first review, where you have Billy and then you have Shazam, and they're semi-different characters, but I could always kind of get past a little bit of going, okay, well, that's just kind of the way it is when he turns into Shazam or Captain Marvel, whoever you want to call him, right? As far as he gets like this bigger personality, I feel like they tried to make Billy a bit more almost like, I don't know, a bit more careless, a bit more almost a little bro-y at times and everything. So, and I'm unfortunate for that actor, because I feel like that actor's barely in this movie, as a minor spoiler. Mm-hmm. That actor, like, from the first one of this, like, and even then I feel like all the other kids are in it more, and that's because, like, obviously Billy is Shazam, right? So I like Levi still in the role. I think he does a good job at what they ask him to do. I think if the things don't work, it's the writing or the direction of the scene, or like the jokes that don't always hit for me. There was one scene, which we'll talk about, hence my name, that has given me the biggest laugh in the theater so far. I don't know if it's because it was so funny. I don't know if it's because Taylor was laughing so much, or a combination, but I did enjoy it. So there are things I liked it overall, as a minor spoiler. Like, I would give it a pass. Would I recommend it? It's tough, because I, like, obviously it sounds like Taylor liked it a lot more than me, and I still am positive on it, but I wouldn't say you need to rush out. I think this is purely for two people. Either the people that really liked or loved Shazam 1, or the people that just are fans of the superhero genre. If you're someone that's lately been tired, and I'll probably do a Travis Told You Soon about superhero fatigue and people talking about that, right? Because you have Ant-Man, box office and reviews not good. Shazam looks like it's going to be that. People say, oh, look at this. You know, two movies back to back. Let's wait till Guardians. And if Guardians bombs and has bad reviews, then let's really talk. But right now, I'll do a whole topic on that another time. But I don't know if there's enough there for the person that is tired of comic movies or wants something very different, like the Batman or Joker, if I'm talking about the DC route, something like that. You're obviously not getting that, or even something like it, you know, talking about Guardians of Guardians 1, where that felt so different at the time, right? You know what you're getting. So if you like Shazam, I think you'll like this movie. I think it'll be varying degrees. I don't think there's anything. It's kind of like, you know, and apparently our Discord with the movie 65 is completely torn, but the same way as like this of people failing it, I would feel like the people failing it are people that are tired or don't enjoy comic movies, because, like, look, it's just another comic book movie and stuff like that. And it's sounding like a 3 out of 5 on a Letterbox, maybe higher for Taylor. That's probably where I am around. And hey, I can say this, I liked it better than Ant-Man. I enjoyed my time more here, especially that one joke was funnier than anything in Ant-Man for me. But then at the same time, I don't think there's anything as good in this movie as Jonathan Majors, right? So it's that kind of, you have this really, really great part in Ant-Man, but the rest is all kind of meh to not good for me, where the rest of this movie is kind of all on a general line. I like the concept of the Shazam family. I think they do that well. It's pretty predictable at times. It's pretty mostly predictable. You've seen here, been here, and obviously we'll wait till we get into spoilers, but there's the one scene and two post credits that I got good chuckles out of, because it's just funny where we are in the current state. And man, they really thought, not thought, but whoever wrote this or whatever, they had a lot of ideas for the future. And I don't think we're going to see a lot of these. And I think back to back from getting Henry Cavill Superman, and who knows what happens to Flash in this. So yeah, I enjoyed it enough. That's what I'd say. I liked my time with it. And yeah, anything else non-spoilers? Obviously, Terry, you would recommend it to most people?
Yeah, I'd recommend it to most people. You've mentioned a few things that, again, I would reiterate because there's certainly some questionable things. And with Zachary Levi's role in this, I thought that it was really, really good. But this isn't a spoiler, but there was some moments that I just felt like he's overly flamboyantly acting. I get he's trying to portray a kid, but I think he went a little too hard where you have to take into account he's 18 in this movie, so he's older. He's not that teen kid that he was in the first one, so he's older now. And I remember when I was 18, I did not act as flamboyantly as how Zachary Levi was interpreting.
You weren't Shazam, though, that's why he's so flamboyant, because he has a shield up and mask. That's true,
but
It doesn't feel like an 18-year-old kid, though, I'll say that.
No, it doesn't, yeah. But that's a very minute thing. I still thought he was hilarious, and he was still good, so...
Or if it's an 18-year-old kid, they're in trouble. That foster home's not raising those kids right. Yeah. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, you don't have to have your shit together, but he's acting like he's 10 sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. So, so if you don't want to be spoiled, now's your time to tune out. If you don't care, then you can stick around. Or if you've seen the movie, if not, come back later. It'll be here. Maybe you're waiting till HBO Max. Maybe you're like Taylor and me. And same thing, I'm with Taylor that I would have maybe seen this, but I probably would have been opening, or I don't know if it would have been opening night. I probably would have gone a later time if I wasn't doing this podcasting gig and stuff like that. So we're going to jump into spoilers, and we'll be right back after this first ad break.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
And we're back. So I guess we can leave the end for the end. It's just some funny stuff. But let's see. S-Web says, honestly, you guys are making me want to watch this movie a bit more. Might check it out soon. Yeah, again, I if you like the first one, I think you'll like this. I think most people are probably going to prefer the first one. Where are you? I'm sure you haven't seen the first one in a bit, though.
It's been a good minute. I'd prefer this one, to be honest. Wow. The other one is great in the sense, you get to enjoy this kid getting his powers and just the learning aspect of it. But I liked where in this he was just kind of more honed in with it a little bit. This one really just tickled my fancy.
Tickle your fancy. Yeah. See, for a little bit, I kind of thought that because I like the idea. At first, I wasn't. I know about the Shazam family. I didn't know how I was going to feel about them being included in this one as far as, you know, the last movie we got them. Like, that's a big thing to take on. But that was the strength of the movie, was that all the characters together, where they're actually the actors as the, or sorry, the adult actors, the kid actors, when there's a mixing of the two. I still think someone like Darla is a great, very fun character. I think Megan Good does a very good job when she's adult Darla and she acts like her. Like, that's something that's like spot on with the kid versus the adult and stuff like that. I really like the beginning as far as just little jokes and little in-world stuff of they're called, what were they, the Fiascos or the Flying Fiascos or something?
Flying Fiascos, yeah.
Flying Fiascos, and they have all, like, they're trying to save things. It's not going well. There's this bridge gag. I actually really, really like what they did with, like, the Rocket of Eternity base. Like, it's a, like, it's their layer, but it's like, and it has layer elements, but it's completely kidified, you know? That's why I like, or teenified. I like that. It feels very much like a superhero version of the Goonies in a way, where it's just like, there's random stuff and stuff they don't need to explain, but stuff like, okay, to this family, this means something, this heirloom means something. But at the same time, and I guess I should say this in non-spoilers as well, I really like the incorporation of magic into this movie and world, and we get a little bit of it in the DC world, but I think this one uses a lot of it, and that's why with Marvel, I hope they do more supernatural stuff. And I liked this idea. It had this kind of feeling, but their lair to me felt very much like Harry Potter in the way of just like the books flying around. I love there was that accordion that was just on fire. They had no idea why it was on fire. Or wasn't accordion. What was it? It was violin. A violin. Yeah. I don't know where I pull accordion from. But like, it's a running gag and they use in the final fight. But I like that. I like the world of different doors, everything. So that's where, I don't know if I was saying for sure that it was better than the first, but I thought it was on par, maybe inching better. Like, I like the setup where the characters are. They're getting in these hijinks, but nothing dangerous. They're trying to work as a team, but they also want to do their own things. Billy's feeling abandoned. And again, I just like the fun world aspects of the lair. I really enjoyed it. It's like a set piece multiple times going there. It's just because at first I thought, okay, this could be meh, but I liked how they dress it up. So how are you feeling about, you know, we're meeting the characters? Not much has changed with them, like, other than Mary's like gonna, she hasn't gone off to college, but most of them are just still living their lives, but now they got superhero identities that they're holding back from their parents.
Yeah, I the visuals, you know, there's definitely some questionable things. It's not like perfect CGI. And
like what? What was questionable?
Well, the dragon. I will say
really? I thought the dragon looked good.
I don't think the dragon looked good. I'm thinking like Game of Thrones equivalent. Like Game of Thrones dragons look so much better than this dragon.
He's a wood dragon, though. Looks a little different, you know?
I guess, but still just wasn't buying it. I will say, though, the Greek creatures and stuff like Cyclops and the Minotaurs, all that stuff, they look fantastic. Really, really was on board for that. But yeah, some of the other things, just you could tell for sure that it was like green screen when the bridge was breaking apart and the cars were tipping over. It's like, oh, this just looks really green screen. Like, get the team that worked on Godzilla in here. They had a bridge scene and they just nailed the CGI for that. So,
did you love the dragon when the fire started to build in his throat? I feel like that was very Godzilla-ish, though.
It was very Godzilla-ish, yeah. I will say, though, the set pieces where we got the books flying around, everything, you said it, like Harry Potter out the wazoo. We got Steve, the pen, the magical.
Yeah, that was fun.
Steve was so cool. Loved it.
That gag worked for me. They have this pen that writes anything you say into a letter and can send it to other gods, which we'll talk more about later. But they have this gag where they keep writing this, but they don't know. They think it would be like, hey, Taylor, put this in the note. Or, you know, I am happy with my life. And then they put the peer and be like, okay, I think that's good. And the pen would write everything down and send it. And I did like later on when Helm Mirren had to read it as word for like, oh, do you say this? A Gatorade? And Lucy Liu's like, what's a Gatorade? Which we'll talk about the villains after. But not that I was like belly laughing and falling on the ground, but that Steve thing, that worked for me. I like that. It was clever.
Yeah. There was actually a surprising amount of scenes that definitely tickled my funny bone that I was not expecting. Yeah, so Steve was the one. I think the other one that you were laughing at was with me was the wizard scene. And again, no surprise, it was spoiled. The Wonder Woman, we'll talk all about that later. But there was a scene where they had her in here. Billy Batson's at dinner with her. And they just keep her head cut out. And I feel like, oh, this is weird. They're doing the Man of Steel thing here. This is very weird. And if I didn't see that spoiler, I totally would have fell for this. But when that scene transitions to the wizard on her body, that was one of the funniest fucking things I've seen in a while. Just, and they knew they were going for that comedic relief, but they were just really hitting it hard, just the movements where the wizard's like turning, looking around the room. Just selling it so well. Oh my goodness.
So this is the tough thing where this, I can see people not liking this scene and the scene within the movie, maybe, because when we talk about, and again, I mean, it's a dream sequence, so you can kind of, it's a combo of a dream. He's having a dream that he's on a date with Wonder Woman, and the wizard kind of invades that, right? But that's why, to me, you can take it as, I understand people not liking it, but you can take it as, okay, it's a dream, so it's heightened. There's a one moment where she gets up and he, you know, he's saying some speech, and this is where I think Levi's great, and then they're like assumingly about to kiss, so Levi just taps into his Jim Carrey. Now, again, I could, if someone said they fucking hate the scene, I would completely understand, because I feel like no one was laughing in the theater but us. And Levi takes his gum, he puts it in his mouth, and he's just like he chews it like a chipmunk. I don't know why that fucking got me. Like, I was already laughing, because I just thought, okay, he's just going to wake up. This is a fun bit. And then when Wonder turns around and it's Jaimin Huntsu's face... like they do this perfect thing where it's his face and his hair, but it's like mixed with Wonder Woman's hair, like it's the dreads and her hair. And like Taylor said, it's not just like his shot, like it's not just his face, his head is on her body. And they do this weird thing where they kind of, it was smart, they use the hair to like hide the neckline, so it's like his head and that's her body, and they would just go to body shots of her looking around, but it's his head. And I don't know why, it just it had me. It was absurd. Again, I don't know if that's the thing, like, do I just like the scene by itself, or does it fit in the movie? I think I make it fit enough in the movie for me that it's a dream sequence of a kid. Again, maybe he should be a little younger, but it's a dream sequence, so whatever. And it's Wonder Woman that they keep emphasizing the whole movie that he has a big crush on, right? So I get that part. And clearly they're kind of setting up, like, all these, well, I'd just say him and Freddie, because like, who knows, the other kids are younger, but him and Freddie doesn't sound like they've dated much. Sounds like they're still virgins and stuff like that and everything. So it's not like he's like knows his way at the ladies, right? So yeah, that whole sequence got me. That sequence of just Jaimin Huntsu on Gal Gadot's body or some actress's body, man, that was something. And that I did get a good laugh, and I wish we didn't know. I knew about the cameo for about a year now, but in some world where we didn't know, just imagine everyone just freaking out, thinking, man, we're getting a Wonder Woman cameo and the head's cut off. Are you kidding me? Like, they can't do this again. And then, you know, obviously we'll talk about later, there's a payoff, but yeah, and good transition. So the wizard wakes up, and we'll talk about some stuff, but Freddy's met a girl. Who's the superhero who's watching the baseball? Pull up the IMDb. I forget that character. Because they start to hint that he's gay and everything like that. Like, that's some stuff at the beginning where his parents are happy that he's finally watching baseball. I love, like, this is where, like, some of the, like, these jokes work for me. He's like, yeah, I'm really enjoying the sport.
The character was Pedro.
Pedro, right. And he's like, yeah, I'm really enjoying the sport. And they go down to a magazine and he's just looking at the baseball player. But, like, he's, like, half nude and everything. Like, this and that dream sequence, I swear, just had, like, some kind of almost old school scary movie parody type of humor feel. And that's why I can understand when people don't like it. But I like it. Like, yeah, I'm enjoying this game. And he looks down and it's just this hot half naked dude on the magazine. And then I liked later on when this is jump, but we'll probably not talk about Pedro too much. They are all going to reveal that, like, there's heroes, right? And they say, I can't remember what the Shazam family says at the same time, like, what's your secret? And they're all saying, like, we're a hero. But Pedro, like, we're gay, like, I'm gay. And like, no one's surprised by that. So I thought that was a fun way to do it. Everyone's like, yeah, we know, it's fine. And Pedro's like, oh, okay, cool. Mary, it was strange because I thought the first movie they're hitting heavy on her going to college, and I guess she just didn't go. Maybe I haven't watched the first one in a while, but I found that odd that I thought the first movie was about that, and then she decided not to go. And I feel like we didn't get too many details other than the family needs to stick together, or I guess it's because she needed to, maybe they're trying to insinuate her and the family couldn't afford it because she was working a job right now. I don't know. I that's where that was, but they didn't do much with it, so I don't know if we really need a storyline of her not going to college or something, right? But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, because, like, there's one scene where she's wearing, like, the college hoodie and all that jazz, so...
She was hungover.
Yeah, she was hungover, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm not sure what they were kind of getting at there, but that's fine. I can still sleep at night not knowing, yeah. So...
And then Darla, she's just there to be cute. And then who's the other? There's like the smart guy. He's played by the guy from 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah, we had Eugene.
I feel like they didn't have much for him to do. Like, I feel like they had Darla's different because I feel like they have Darla there be the cute, innocent character. But I feel like every other character had something going on where Eugene really didn't. You know, like they all gave him like, okay, he's struggling with sexuality. She's struggling with college. She's cute. Freddie has a girl. Like, he's trying to get a girlfriend. He's met this girl that he really likes, Anne. I think she was just Anne, right? And then the reveal she was Anthea or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's like some like good enough chemistry. I will say that I think his whole name is like it's Jack Dylan Grazer or whatever it is. From the It films. That guy still continues to be a delight. Anytime he's on screen, like especially there's so many kid actors, and there's better kid actors, but when you have to be the funny, lovable guy, it's so easy either not to be funny or be like forced down to be a lovable guy. It just comes natural to him. Like, I'm just very excited to see what he does in his career. And again, I like Ansel Elgort, but I just feel like him as Billy is he's barely in this movie. Like, he's like, which is unfortunate and stuff like that. But with the wizard, yeah, we find out they're alive. What did you think of? We'll talk about the villains, but what did you think of the villain scene, reveal scene, as far as they find the staff? It's broken. The dude from Peacemaker did not make it. I was trying to tell you that. Remember, that was the dude from Peacemaker. He talks to him in the first episode.
I don't remember him in the first episode of Peacemaker.
He's in the dance and he makes some like back and forth jokes with Peacemaker and stuff like that. But either way, he got turned to sand and then he got torn down. And you know what? I really liked this opening scene of Lucy Liu's character. She has like mind control powers, Hal Mirren. So I liked the setup of the scene of the mind control and the kind of sandstorm that just crystallizes as people. So what did you think of the introductions of these villains?
I didn't mind it. I just felt like I've seen this before. I defer to Son of the Mask, where Loki Son goes of the Mask. Into the
That's
museum.
What we're referring to.
He goes into the museum, and the guy's given the tour, talking about all the Greek ancient artifacts and the Viking artifacts. And then Loki goes up to the box, is like looking over and ogling over the box because the mask is in there. It's exactly the same scene. I mean, they must have watched the movie and just like, oh, this is inspiration 101 here. So.
Luckily, I guess I haven't seen enough of the Son of the Mask. I think I've seen it once. So
you don't need
I
to watch it many times.
I didn't have that. We got a retro one day. One day, when they make a new Mask movie, you know we're retroing both those movies. But yeah, and I guess we can transition. So what do you feel? We'd kind of got this from the trailers, but Lucy, I can't remember their names. I'll just say the Daughters of Atlas.
Calypso. Was one.
I'm just going to say the daughter's Atlas, and I'm going to refer to them as the actress's name because I'm not going to try. Like the trailer said, they lost their powers. They're trying to get them back. They're after the Shazam family. Obviously, I feel like I couldn't remember if the trailer showed this or I just figured it out that Rachel Zegler was going to be a bad guy too. I'm sure, I guess, there was probably enough in the trailers that picked that up. But what did you feel about the motives? What do you feel about the acting, the twist of there being a third sister? Like, did you enjoy these villains? Were they kind of a nothing for you? Like, where were you on the Daughters of Atlas, right?
Yeah. Yes. So yeah. with Anthea, she... I was quickly like sold on her being a villain when she was on the roof with with Freddie, and she started she kind of looked in the distance like weirdly, but then she started to say like a few other things, and then I started to think in retrospect like, oh shit, she said her sister's a control freak, which totally fits with Helen Mirren kind of being the control freak. And so I started to think like, oh, maybe it's Lucy Liu doing like a reverse Shazam thing where she's younger now or something like that as a trick. But no, then shortly after we get like the book scene, like, oh no, there's a third sister in Anne. I thought, okay, well, it all makes sense now. But I like that the narrative for them was they weren't like power hungry, like, oh, let's just like wipe the earth out or anything like that. It was minus the one. It was more so like, hey, we just want to get our stuff back so we can help rebuild our realm, which is totally justifiable. And I like that Anne was very much the forefront of that. Like, let's just, you know, spearheading this. And I like that Helen Mirren was kind of like in second place for that. Like, no, we have our mission and we can't defer from that. And Lucy Liu is just off the charts here. She was just like going super, super evil. I wasn't a fan of some of the lines of dialogue she had. I'm not going to lie. Some things she was saying, like even that Gatorade line, like, what is this Gatorade weapon? I was like, that's not like it should normally work for me, but it was just way too spot on. She's like, let's have fun. Mm-hmm. And Helen Mirren's like, this isn't about fun, Calypso. Like, just stuff like that that I wasn't driving with.
Yeah, I can't say. If we're talking about the DCU, I can't say they're the worst films we've gone, because we've gone Enchantress and I Don't Care For Me. We've gotten Jared Leto's Joker, and we got like Steppenwolf from the Justice League one. Not Steppenwolf and Snyder Cut, but that Steppenwolf. So not if there's the bottom tier, they're not there, but they're just above the bottom tier. I think it's a combination of, I feel like Helmir and Lucy Liu are, I don't want to say phoning it in, but it doesn't feel like there's much passion for these roles. But it's also just like they don't write them to have much passion. These guys are just like, you made a good point of, I did enjoy that the two sisters were not also just fully evil, because at first I thought it was just gonna be Anne and then the other two sisters were evil, right? But I like Helmir and kind of being like, no, we came back for what we wanted, we got it, let's just go, we don't need to affect this world. And Lucy Liu being driven with power, but even her driven with power, like, I didn't feel like there was that big drive. I didn't feel like she was so angry than the rest of them. It just felt like, okay, be angry. Okay, I'm angry. Like it, and that's where I don't know. Maybe this was the actresses being, like, it's just a paycheck, it's just a comic movie, whatever. Or just on the book, it was, or on the screenplay, it was just like angry face, and that's what it was. There was not much motivation, because at the end of the day, Lucy Liu's plot is what I hate, what I always feel like, and it's fine because I guess it's one city, but really it would spread, right? And the plot of it is just, it's going to turn the world against each other and create peace and just destroy it, right? And it's just like, I hate when I don't mind if you are solo, but when you're in a cinematic universe, which who knows how much longer this movie is, I hate world-ending stuff for just the solo people ventures. Even if another hero shows up at the end, I'm not a fan of that or that motif and stuff. So they will be forgettable. I will forget about them come not even time next week. In a few days. Like, I feel like if you saw the trailers and you saw what they're playing, that's what you're getting. And I feel like I saw at least 36 shots of Lucy Liu and the dragon almost the exact same. They would do like this chest up and her, like, and clearly that's a CGI shot, but I feel like they just kept recycling. It's not a recycled shot, but I just feel like I saw that on that dragon so much. And like I said, I knew she was the villain. I can't remember, like, if it's trailers, if I just figured that out, but either way, and I feel like, I feel like you just know the story. She falls for Freddy. She's the villain. She's going to help him out because she can't. She just, you know, she likes this guy and she knows her sisters are doing bad. You've seen this and a few of the other plot points before and stuff like that. So, And I like that they were trying to hit some kind of scary horror vibes with them, like the mind possession. I like the villains or the creatures they did introduce were really good looking as far as just like different types and evil monsters and stuff like that. So I liked that element. And I guess it's tough for me, but did I like them better than Dr. Savannah from the first one? Hard to say, because I think Dr. Savannah was also like a very generic villain. So I think much like the movie, the villains are kind of on par with that. You know, there's not much of a jump forward or anything. So, But you get to fight a dragon, you know, and that's what it's all about. You get to fight a dragon. Yeah,
you get the dragon. Again, I really did like all the minions that were popping off, seeing the Minotaurs, seeing the Cyclops, the... I'm assuming that they were like sirens or whatnot. There are so many different things going off and they looked really good. I like that they just spawned out of this like egg sack with their armor and everything on. But yeah, they're just causing a ruckus, hurting people. The unicorns, again, another thing that really got me, just if you ever want to like land an ad, this is like the perfect ad you could put in the movie, because like the unicorn is a killer unicorn, the beast that all like they feel like everyone from the monsters, king of beasts, monsters fear it. And it's charging at, I can't remember her name, and she just pours the Skittles in the ground. She just tastes the rainbow. That's one of the most craziest scenes I've ever seen. And two, when she's in the van with the whole family and the magician, or the wizard, not the magician.
magician.
The wizard is like, she's like, oh, I love unicorns. And he says, unicorns, they don't love you or they don't like you. Just shits all over about this. That was so funny. That got me.
Yeah, and see, and that's the difference too, where lots of the, and I could see again, people saying the Wizards lines didn't work for them. I think that was just the pure way Jaimin Huntsu played it, because I loved every time he got Freddie's name wrong. Such a stupid joke, but when she's like,
Freebie.
Thank you, Freebie. And he's like, that's not my name. Like, just all this time. And then, like, in that scene, he's like, is that a tooth? Like, that was Freddie. But, like, I liked their back and forth. And yeah, the Wizard, other than when he got pimped out at the end and the jokes there, actually, none of the jokes were working for me there. But the rest of them, Jaimin Huntsu did a good job for just a character that's nothing. I found it so funny too when he was running around the whole movie, he had his robe like constantly like in his arm. I was like, well, like, why was that choice made? Yeah. But it was weird. And I like the Skittle things as well. I wish they didn't like double down later when she was killing the guys and she kept yelling like "Taste the Rainbow." I thought, okay, like the one joke was enough with it. And yeah, like I said, I liked all the beasts and stuff. I think the villains plot too, unfortunately, kind of resorted to plot armor a lot of, not literally plot armor of protecting a character, but plot armor of, well, we can't have them fight yet. Like plot diversions, I guess I would say. So like when they have the staff and they just easily take out Freddy, you know, Mr. Everything, they take him out and Shazam's flying right at them. I guess they were just worried because we do see later Shazam them like dashing and stuff like that, but it felt odd that they didn't even try to take out another one. They just automatically went to, we got to get out of here, and then we created a dome. And then I just feel like it was a very, that middle portion is probably where they lost me and lost some points, where I feel like the combo to get Freddy back and the villains to keep Freddy from them felt very convoluted of everyone's motivations and stuff like that, when really it's just to make a deal. But all this stuff, it just wasn't really working for me as far as the villains plan. We're going to create this whole bubble around everything, and then we're going to trade Freddy. And they said that, like, it's weird. They're like, we're going to snap Freddy's neck if you do anything. Shazam tries to do something. They don't do a shit. They don't do anything. And then, like, why wouldn't you just make a deal with them right there? Be like, hey, each one of you, put your hand through this portal. We're going to zap you, and then we'll give you your friend. Like, it just felt like they were trying. And I would say this too, I should have said this in overalls, that I think the movie could have been a bit shorter. I think near the end I was kind of, I was done. I was like, okay, I think we've overstayed our welcome. And maybe that stuff, they could have just made some of that stuff simpler, you know. And not that I couldn't understand it, just felt like unnecessary plot lines to extend this movie that was not needed, you know. So
yeah, I agree, there were some things that definitely could have been wrapped up a little bit quicker. The whole plan that they had, that was questionable, because there were so many times where Billy gets the staff and he could so easily just use it on the villains. Like, because we saw that obviously Calypso can use that power on Anne. And that basically strips her god powers away. So several times when Calypso's sitting on her dragon and she's like blasting, trying to kill her sister when she's facing the dome, and Shazam's down on the ground with the staff having a monologue with his family, he could have flew up and just like quickscoped her from in behind. And she
maybe he doesn't know that spell. You know, maybe you got to have special training for that spell.
Oh, I guess. But I mean, if he can blast into the dragon's breath, I mean, he must know how to do this. Especially if he can grant the power of the gods to other people. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like my one kind of flack with that. But at the end of the day, I did enjoy it, and I did enjoy the fight sequences and stuff like that, even though some of their things were questionable. So
yeah, well, let's take our second, probably last ad break, and we'll talk a little bit more about the film, talk about some final grades and some cameos and end credits. So we'll be right back. And we're back. So yeah, I don't think there's too much that we kind of covered, you know, the sisters turn on one another. I liked Freddie and Anne's like chemistry enough. It was fun. They play up the whole age joke. And again, same thing with the actual family. It's so funny because people are showing that clip of, you know, when I want to talk to my Billy. It was going around the internet and people were saying, oh, like this movie might have some more emotion than we thought. The parents also in here for about a couple of scenes. I don't count the ending because they're just driving around, but they're in there for a couple of scenes. Like the family aspect of that way has kind of gone away. They do this quick little storyline where Billy, the first time they interact, won't call her mom. And pretty much the second or third time they interact, he calls her mom. That's the big thing. So what's funny? What are you laughing about?
No, I agree. They really kind of just dropped the ball on the whole just the parents and the whole family dynamic. Like the only kind of dynamic we had was just them in the cave together, the eternal stone or whatnot. Again, like another great set piece, and just really great how they had the seven deadly sins all like decked out with glasses and graffiti and looking all fly. That was really funny. But yeah, I just I wish I could remember the actor's name, but I first saw him in Walking Dead. And he's just, I really like him. And so just to kind of see him take that back seat in here, where it's two scenes, like, let's get into the battle machine or something like that. Or like, oh, don't worry, he'll come around soon enough and tell you that he loves you, mom, or something like that. That's it. That's all we got. And then even the mom, I felt like at the end, they were trying to really push this very emotional, like, stock scene where he's crying, like, let me see you, you know.
Stock scene? What do you mean by stock scene?
Poor choice of words, not stalking. S-T-O-C-K, stock. But
okay, I see.
Yeah, I just wish that there was a little bit more development there from everything with the parents, because he's crying and she's like, I love you, and he embraces her like, I love you, mom. So totally embrace the family now. He thought he was going to be kicked out and he had to get a job and all that jazz, which is not what was going to happen. And they alluded to, like, the dragon, like, you just let a dragon kind of destroy our home or whatnot, and we just paid it off or bought it. And then I think Mary was like, oh, you just bought the house? Like, there was so much like focus on that, and I was kind of curious to see what kind of follow-up was going on there, because it made it sound like they're super super broke and they can't afford this, but they can afford to just get a fancy reconstruction of their home. So,
well, what is exactly Anthea's powers?
Who? What's the character?
Is it Anthea or Ant? What am I saying?
Oh, Anne. Yes, Anthea. Yes, you got it.
I thought it was just going to lead to her fixing their house. That's what I thought. Because she has some power. But I don't know if that's what her powers can do, you know? Her powers are very warped. And you could see that this was a bigger budget. At one point, they give Shazam like a Inception-type fight scene where he's flying at them and they're throwing him like different buildings and stuff like that. So that was fun, but... There's a moment where he crashed into a building where I felt like they really thought the audience was going to laugh there, and there was not a peep in our theater. Like, that's one thing I will say with that. When there are jokes that didn't hit for us and everybody, it was just awkward because you're sitting there and they're doing like the almost 90s comedy with laugh track where it's expecting to laugh, and then when it doesn't happen, didn't work here.
I'm not seeing anything aside from the goddess of flowers and flowery wreaths. So.
Okay. There you go. I guess nothing to do with the house, but and then at the end, and I feel like this might be why, if critics have like failed or some other people might have, I could see why for this reason, because so you get this moment, and I actually really like it, where all the characters have their powers been taken, stuff like that, and they figure with the staff, the way to defeat the dragon, and Lucy's character is, hey, if we overcharge the staff, it'll act like a bomb and it's gonna blow up. We forgot to mention at one point Lucy Liu and Hail Mary in the whole movie have been fighting. Hail Mary just keeps putting her down, like, you can't lead. You're pretty much just not mature enough to do this. You wouldn't follow his father's footstep. So you know there was something happening there. Lucy Liu eventually has Hail Mary, quotations, killed, dragon tail right through the heart. But Shazam brings her back with a couple, I guess actually just one shock. So this force field that, Hail Mary had created, she like makes it very small, just around a baseball field, so Shazam can overcharge this staff and take out the dragon and Lucy Liu, and obviously likely himself, right? They do that. He has this fight, and I was happy, like, because for a while they kept talking about him fighting this dragon like big time, and I thought we actually weren't going to get it because we're like nearing the movie a couple times. Like, what's the point? But we got like a good scene here. I like that. This is where I like the third act, and the rest of the stuff could have been lowered, but this is where it's like, okay, I feel like it's getting a little long in the tooth, but again, I would have taken other stuff out or maybe more important stuff focused on, but that's here nor there because that's what they did. But I really enjoyed the third act. I laughed at one point when he was just singed, his suit just looked like the Black Adam suit because it was it was completely black and like it, except for the thunderbolt, so that was fun. But I like that in a world where we give movies a lot of shit for being dark. Like, this kind of work as it was supposed to be. It was nighttime. They're in this force field, and it was just like the lightning was giving them light. Even the lightning stuff, I think they could brighten up a bit. But I liked the actual finale of, and of course, Billy has to sacrifice himself. You know,
The whole finale there, that third act was great. I loved how there wasn't really any score. He was just like conjuring the lightning, and it was reflecting off of the dome, which is super cool. It was going back into the staff that he had. So there was lots going on that was visually, aesthetically superbly pleasing. Him dying, I actually really liked how they did this. Again, I wouldn't be opposed to them having like a hero come back or a hero stay dead or anything like that. But in this sense, I thought it was great how he actually did die. And then Wonder Woman came in, like charged the staff, all that jazz. And that's kind of what brought him back. I don't like people could be disappointed. They could say it's a cop out, like, oh, blah, 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 whatever. But I think this is great because for all intents and purposes, like he died. And with what he did, like his human body, like he was charred up on the side, like melted flesh a little bit, like he was looking rough. And I'm happy that that's what happened. Like he wasn't just gonna like, oh, I'm okay. It was no, he had to have a god kind of help, like clear for him to kind of like come back.
Well, I think that's what I was referring to, where I can get on board with it, but I can see people, and there's even at times for myself that, because this happens so much in comic book movies, the like our main character is going to be dead or is dying, and then they miraculously come back. I get a lot of people seeing that last sequence being like, they don't buy it all, Shazam's going to die. So then you got almost 10 minutes of them doing like this funeral and everything like that, and it just doesn't feel genuine and stuff like that. So that's where for me it didn't like hit. I liked the scene for the actors are doing well, but I was like, oh man, we've lost Billy. And even then I wasn't feeling that emotion of, oh, we, even if we didn't lost Billy, just the thought of losing Billy. But yes, like Taylor said, you have Wonder Woman, they put him in the grave, and then the staff's completely broken, and then not broken, it's has no charge left, and the wizard says, oh, it would take a god to power this back up, but there are none left. And then fucking Gal Gadot walks out.
Well, that score.
The score, yeah. Whatever line she said, I'm just like, but there is. And it was her shoes, and they go up and kind of like make it look like the head cut off thing. And like Tyr says, yeah, the da-na-na-na-na-na-na, the score is popping very loud. Even the end credits music, me, Tyr, Madison were trying to talk during the end credits. We couldn't because it was just crescendoing out the fucking yin-yang. But the score is very loud here. And then, yeah, so I had heard about this a long time ago, and then they had shown this a few days ago in TV spots, which, again, I laugh because I remember people on my timeline being like, well, they're showing this probably because she has a bigger role than they're letting on here, you know? And I was like, okay, maybe she does. Maybe some people are right. But in my mind, I was like, I don't know, like, how much of a big role, because if you have a character in there for an extended amount of time, I feel like you have to make them part of the story, and it didn't feel like she was that. And you also just can't make it that, okay, she shows up and beats the dragon for Shazam. So I was like, there's only so much room. I liked the way they brought her in, but at the same time, it feels very just cameo-y and just like, oh, look at this, and we got this person. And I liked it enough. I liked Wonder Woman's back and forth, him kind of flirting with her, nervous. He said he'd call her, and she's like, oh, whatever, Billy, and stuff. So I liked it. It's just funny too that they showed this, and like they pretty much show most of the scene in the teaser, as far as what the, like, obviously they don't show the resurrection, but the rest of that, the entrance, her turning back to say her line. I also just think the audience now, and we'll talk about this next weekend with the box office, I just think the audience is smart enough now to know from marketing like what's a cameo and what's a character with a role. But obviously you're saying you enjoyed Wonder Woman's appearance here.
Yeah, I thought she was fantastic. I
really maybe the last Wonder Woman appearance from Gal Gadot.
Yeah, might be one of the last ones, which is a shame because I thought she was great in this. And yeah, just that score theme. Oh my goodness! And she's like smiling and just happy to be like the saving grace here. It was awesome. Yeah, so that all worked for me. I did not know that Wonder Woman was gonna be in this at all until Kirkland ruined it for me.
And I ruined it for Kirkland.
You ruined it for Kirkland.
It was a whole web we weave.
That being said, if Kirkland didn't show me, I don't know how, like, why Eminem would do this. But Eminem posted like a video on his official page on Facebook that showed Shazam talking to Wonder Woman, and I thought, just okay, why would you do something like that?
But then Eminem, you saw it by yourself later on, right? Like, was
it? Well, that's where I saw it. That's where Yeah, Eminem. Well, E minem, I guess.
E minem.
Yeah. So that's where I saw it on my own out in public, and I just don't know why they would do something like that. That's uncalled for. But when I had been spoiled by Kirkland, I had thought that it was going to be a more prominent role, that we were going to see her throughout this, you know, title Fury of the Gods. So I was thinking, oh, this is going to be great. And then as the movie kept progressing, I started to get worried and thinking, oh no, it's going to be the post-credit scene. Like, you're really just, you spoiled the post-credit scene. Like, that's just, what is your marketing team doing here? This doesn't make any sense. So,
but they
that's not the case though. Yeah. So she played an important role.
Very. She resurrected Shazam, and that's good to know. Anytime Wonder Woman's alive, Shazam cannot die.
We won't get that Shazam 3, though, so...
No, which speaking of, and I was going to say, is there anything else more about the actual film or you want to get film credits?
There is. So when Anne, like this again, this is the classic, like if you're in a superhero movie and a possible love interest or like a new student shows up at school, you can immediately add it into the fact that, okay, they're probably playing an important role here. Yes. Like your Spider-Gwen, your, you know, goddess daughter of Atlas and for whatever reason they go to the school, and so Anne went to the school, and I don't know what her goal was because they didn't even know that they were dealing with kids yet, because that's what Helen Mirren was trying to pitch to Freddie in that questionnaire in her throne room, like are you all children, what's going on, like are you, or like they're trying to figure that out. But Anne just decided to go to school, I guess, just to kind of see what would happen. So that's kind of peculiar.
I guess it's just get the lay of the land. You know, they're trying to figure out. I don't know.
Yeah. We didn't really talk much about Helen Mirren, but again, she was really fantastic in this. I think she...
Really?
I think so.
I'm not with you on that one.
I wasn't sure if she was going to, like, it was just going to be like a payday for her or whatnot, but I feel like she took this in stride. She was just running with it. So
it was a payday. And I enjoyed their fights that her and Shazam had in the middle there. I feel like it's tough because I feel like at times they make the daughters very OP and overpowered and they can just beat anybody. And then at times they have to like lessen their powers because all the main characters are here. So,
well, that's exactly it. It's still definitely like catches you off guard seeing like 77-year-old Helen Mirren just being body slammed to the ground. I thought Billy was going to like Bane Batman her, just like break her back.
Yeah, I did too. Knee. And I thought, was he going to make a joke about it or something like that?
Yeah.
Let's see. So, end credits. So, both of these, I got a good giggle out of them because who knows what the world will bring up and stuff like that. But the first end credits scene, I can't remember their names, but Steve Mackey or whatever his name is from Peacemaker, and Jennifer Hall and James Gunn's wife, which now explains because someone tweeted at James Gunn today and he had this whole thing of like, I've only hired my wife on one thing and blah, 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 but people seem to hate on her or something like that, which is true. It is true. He did not make this movie, and Pope made the guy behind me when I thought that, but like the casting would have been Elseworld. But anyway, so it's these characters from Suicide Squad and Peacemaker, and I guess Black Adam as well. It's very end credit-y. Billy Batson is Shazam. He's just somewhere just fucking shooting glass bottles, like just randomly. Why they're finding him here, I don't know, but they found him here and they talked to him like they want to, you know, he's a little mature, but they need some team members. And then he's like, they're like, we want you to join the Justice. He cuts him like, oh, you know, pretty much Barry Allen from just like, stop right there. I'm in. I'm down to happen. And then they say the full name, like Justice Society. And he's very confused. And he's like, is that the one Wonder Woman's a part of? That's what I want to be in. They're like, no. So, and it's kind of like two. Twofold as far as one, I don't know what they're trying to set up. I guess it's Justice Society, but the fact that like, so the Justice Society is what we had in Black Adam, which was Hawkman, Atom Smasher, Cyclone, and then the now dead Dr. Fate. So I was like, okay, that's quite a team to be putting him in. I guess that was the idea. So you had that end credit of him, and then he goes off this idea of he says the Authority Society. He's like, oh, we should get a better name for it instead of Justice, the Avengers Society. So it makes a very fourth wall breaky joke. And then we had back to Doctor the post credit, the end credit one was back to Dr. Savannah. It's pretty much the identical post credit scene from the first movie where the worm comes back and he's like, Mr. Mind comes back. He's like, oh, my plan's almost ready to go. And he's like, but it's been 2 years I've been sitting here. Like, oh, I'm ready, except I got to do one more thing. He crawls away and Doctor's fan is like, no. So it was ironic of like where we are in the DCU and also just with Shazam's box office or lack thereof projections, just both end credits. I was expecting for Shazam for there to be one just very comedic scene. And I guess you could count the him getting recruited as a comedic scene, but just the fact that they're both kind of laying into the future of what's happening and the future just seems so uncertain. I just got a giggle, and it's just like, from, I was saying this non-spoilers, but you got Henry Cavill and Black Adam, that's nothing. You got these two and Flash. I guarantee there could be a scene or two or characters of two. We still got Aquaman, so who knows what happens in there. But yeah, what did you think about these two post-credit scenes? One set up him being the Justice Society, and one set up Mr. Mind's plot, which both of them will likely never see.
Justice Society, I liked. Now, if we were pursuing with this whole narrative of Justice Society and Shazam returning, then it fits, because you have Justice Society being closely affiliated with Black Adam. And I think that's something that we could have seen happen. I mean, hypothetically speaking, at this point, we would have gotten Shazam or Black Adam versus Man of Steel, and then we would have had Shazam come in there too at some point. So we would have had some interesting crossovers. And yeah, I think it makes sense. Having Steve and Harcourt, is that her name?
Harcourt. Yeah.
So them popping in, like you say, like, okay, like James Gunn had nothing to do with this movie, which I guess it makes sense.
He
didn't at the time. I just feel like it's funny, like she's gonna be getting her own movie or something like that next, I bet. But no,
her own movie. Wow.
Whole movie, yeah. But no, honestly, the two of them in that cut scene, it made me laugh, because I immediately thought of Peacemaker or something. I would have loved to have seen John Cena in there for that. Which reminded me, actually, there's another scene I need to talk about after. But the other post credit scene, I quite enjoyed it. It's just because it was so memeable, I guess, and I feel like it kind of ends in a conclusive way too, even if we don't get any follow-up, where he's just going off and doing his own thing. I don't think I really ever need to look and like figure out what's going on with this character. What was his name again?
Magic Mind. And there's Dr. Savannah. Yeah,
Magic Mind. Yeah, so
Magic Dr. Mind's Savannah, Magic Mind's the worm.
Dr. Savannah's just, yeah, he's still in his jail cell 2 years later, just not having a good time about it. Yeah, so I laughed a lot at that scene.
Yeah. What was the other thing you were going to bring up there?
There is a scene when the creatures were attacking the city, and there was a cop, and I had to do a double take because it looked like John Cena. The haircut was exactly the same as like a John Cena haircut, and he pulled his gun out. He was a cop, and he started firing, and it was like a solid,
I don't think John,
like,
Cena has that long a hair, but
it just reminded me of him. It was a good 25 seconds long, it felt like, where this cop, I don't know how many bullets he had in the chamber, but I'm pretty sure he hit the max, because like he just unloaded on this Minotaur, like boom, 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 and it was like a solid close up of him just shoot. I don't know why that scene stuck with me. So
good, I'm happy it stuck with you. Yeah. It was. I agree with you. It did go on for a while though. I was like, dude, this isn't working, but that's okay. There's lots of crowd shots of them reacting. So, Taylor Phil, what would you give this movie? What would you score it at?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You know what? Okay, what would I score this? I need to think too in comparison of like everything else that I've liked this year. Because when I'm about to go in and give like a rating to something, I think, okay, I need to like calm down. I need to look at the other films that I have I've rated. Gosh, no, because like it's a good movie, but it's not better than that. This is tough. You know what? I think I'm gonna go shit. I wish I could remember what I rated 65, but I think I'm gonna go.
Are you rating it better than 65? Or are you trying not to rate it better than 65?
I think I gave 65 a pretty high score. So I think just to kind of be safe, I'm gonna go 7.5. Now, I would say 8, but like I'm not all the way up there with that, especially because I don't want to rank it above 65 in my Letterboxd, because I like 65 a lot, actually. But with this, it's a good time. I feel like 7.5 is still a very confident vote for me to say and put that money on. go, like, I feel like you'll watch it. I again, you said it really, really well, because if you were a fan of this classic superhero genre, or if you're a fan of Shazam, then this is definitely for you. But if you're in here looking for that, like, deep soul-searching superhero experience with the character development and all that, you're not going to get it. But if you're looking for a good time, this is definitely a good time. So, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, it's tough because I think I gave the first one, I think, like a 7. So I think that's where I come to being like a 6.5. And even the first one, I might redact it to be like, I don't know. It's tough. I think the first one still could be a 7 for me. I always give 7 to movies that are like good, have some issues, but I'll always rewatch. It doesn't matter. And that's where Shazam, I haven't had the always rewatch. I thought I still would rewatch it more than I have. So that's why for this one, for sure, like, I think at times it could be up in that 7 bar, but it's just, I, for my Travis personal meter, like I said, 7. Sevens are movies that I got lots of issues with. There could have been a lot of fixes, or there's a lot of things that I go, oh, this doesn't sit right with me, but I'll still watch it. And I don't even think those are guilty pleasures, just kind of a enjoyable C-plus movie in a way. But this, I think I'm like a 6.5, 6.75, somewhere in there. It gets a pass. I enjoyed it. I will return to it at some point, but it's definitely not one that's going to be heavy rotation for DC rankings. I'm not sure. Obviously, you check my letterbox, but I think probably at the end of the year with Aquaman, we'll do like a Patreon episode ranking all the movies from Man of Steel till now. So yeah, I enjoyed it, but it'll be, you know, other than watching it with Emily, which we're not going to go to theaters, it'll be a little while before I get back to this. So let us know on the Twitter, the Discord, the YouTube, what you thought about it, where you were on it, your score, stuff like that. We always like hearing, or obviously if you're in the Discord, drop your letterbox score. That's always fun. So yeah, we'll be back obviously next week with lots of other casts, but as far as reviews, we'll be back next week with John Wick Chapter 4. That'll be the Geekverse episode, nearly 4 hours or 3 hours of John Wick. Four. So that 4 hour John Wick. So again, like Avatar numbers here, but yeah, so we'll be back then. I promise you it'll not be boring.
Bye-bye.